one true living God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hands up, how many people have cell phones? If you brought them to church, turn them off. Now, cell phones have dramatically changed our lives. The idea of being instantly in touch has revolutionized things. I was in a restaurant on Friday, a cell phone rang, and 50 people reached for their purses. They've given us the ability to be in instant communication. We live in an age of being instantly accessible. And it's this idea of being instantly accessible that Jesus introduces when he teaches his disciples how to pray. You'll recall the disciples went to Jesus and they said, "Lord, teach us to pray." And he gave them the Lord's Prayer, the Our Father. Jesus revolutionized prayer. It used to be that a pious Jew had to be in the right place, the right temple, wearing the right clothes, and using the right formula in order to pray. And Jesus does away with all of that. Everyone can have the same instant accessibility to the Father, be he the high priest or be he the lowliest of slaves. So Lent is a time when we pay special attention to our prayer life. We begin to pray, if we haven't, or we improve our prayer life. And this morning I want to ask the question, do you pray? Do you? And I'm not talking about those short little bullet prayers that we send up in moments of crisis. I'm talking about carving out the time necessary to say, "Lord, this is your time, and I am in communion with you." So I ask you, do you pray? It's so easy to get caught up in the busyness of life. So busy that we never have the time to reflect on what God is doing. Then we wonder why we're in trouble. Do you pray? That's the question. So three things very briefly about prayer this morning. Number one, prayer is the way that we ask for things. Prayer is the way we ask for things. Sometimes people, even Christians, will say, "Well, I don't ask God for anything," and they think they're being very spiritual. But in fact, that's a rather faithless comment, because at its basis, it means that I don't believe that God can give me anything, or I don't believe that God has the power to act. And prayer is simply making a request of God. "God, can you help me with this? Can you work in this person's life? Can you bring healing to this situation?" And prayer begins when we ask. We pray for the big things sometimes, like salvation. I read in my Bible that salvation can't be earned. It's a free gift from God. You can't work it. You can't go anywhere in your spiritual life without it. But I also read in my Bible that salvation must be asked for. Nowhere does it say in Scripture that salvation is given without asking. And once you ask, you live in hope that your request will be fulfilled. Once you ask, you live in the reality that your request will be fulfilled. Your life is changed because you ask. Now think of a marriage proposal. Nothing is certain until the request is made. The couple might know that one day they'll get married. It's not a surprise to those that know the couple. But once the question is asked, life is changed. Asking engages the other person. So when we ask God for something, we engage him. One of the early fathers of the church once said that you have not because you ask not. Now, I love it when people ask me for things that I can give them. Sometimes I can't. But God can grant anything. With God, all things are possible. So what's the harm in asking? And it happens in prayer. So I ask you, do you pray? Because if you don't pray, you don't have the forum to ask God for anything. Number two, prayer is not only the way we ask, it is the way that we know God's will. Some people think that Christianity is pie in the sky when you die. And it is. But God also has a will for us in this life. I am the way, says Jesus, and the truth, and the life. And once we have the destination in mind, we can seek God's destiny for our life here and now. Do you want to know God's will for your life? You can know. It's not a mystery. God can help you to live this life successfully. You can be in a place where you're walking in the will of God. But you won't know unless you ask. Ask God to look over your shoulder, to help you with problems, to give you answers. And how this usually works is that we hesitate and we procrastinate. We don't engage in prayer on an ongoing basis, and so our problems build and build and build. And by the time we finally get down on our knees, by the time we bring the problem to God, it's huge. It's like a great big knot. And you know what a knot is. A knot is something that takes longer to undo than it did to do in the first place. So we need to be patient while God works our knots out. And we can't do that without prayer, and we can't do that unless we ask. So prayer is not only the way we ask for things, it's not only the way we know God's will, but it is thirdly the way that we enjoy the will of God. Now, when I first became a Christian, I believed that Christian life was a burden and a drag. And I believed that it could not be enjoyed. And not only that, I believed that it should be all of those things. Perhaps it's because I grew up in a Presbyterian household. I don't know. But that was my view of Christianity. I saw God as the boss, the guy who sends you to do a job all by yourself. As if he said, you go, you work, you do it all, and then when you're done, I will reward you. And that's how I saw the Christian life. The boss gave me a difficult job, I slug away at it, never checking in with him, then at the end of my life, I get a reward. How wrong I was. And it wasn't until I began to pray in a disciplined way that I recognized through prayer that God was with me all along. I saw his hand in my life. That doesn't happen without prayer. I saw his fingerprints on people and places. That doesn't happen without prayer. I saw his handiwork in suffering and turmoil. That doesn't happen without God's prayer. I felt his support and his guidance, and that doesn't happen without prayer. Through prayer, I am beginning to discover the peace and joy of living the Christian life, the peace and joy of living in the will of God. 1, 2, 3. Now, I want you to ask the Lord for something. Now, many of you who have been Christians for years have never done this, apart from asking for the lottery numbers. We need to move to a mature understanding of bringing before God those issues of our life, people, and relationships, and our job. And we bring them before God as an ask. How he'll answer, I don't know. You can't know. But I do know that he'll hear you. And I do know that he will answer your ask in his own way and in his own time. I'll finish this morning with a true story. When I was in Dallas 10 or so years ago as a curate in a parish, the diocese held a workshop for clergy on prayer. And one of the speakers, who was at that time a priest of this diocese, told this fascinating story. He tells the time 10 years back when his church was in trouble. They just put up a new building. They had lots of new programs to reach out to a fast-growing suburb of the city, and that costs money. And finances were very tight. It was not a happy time. So there came a point in time when there was no money to make the mortgage payments. The finance committee of the vestry advised him that they were $25,000 short. What to do? Well, the priest remembered that 3 years ago, a man had made a pledge of $25,000 to the building fund. Now, not only had he not paid it, but he had left the church. And not only had he left the church, he'd left the church in anger. So this priest decided to pray for this person, and he sat down on a Saturday morning with the treasurer, and he asked God to lay it on the heart or kick that guy in the pants, the guy who'd left, in anger to fulfill his pledge. So they prayed together, and they both got in their cars and went home. On the way home, the priest stopped at the post office box to pick up the mail. And there it was, a check for $25,000. He said, I did backflips across the parking lot. He said, though, it came to me that that check was already in the post office box when I prayed. At the very moment the treasurer and I were praying, that check was sitting there in the post office. And he said, Lord, why did you make me ask? And the answer came back in his heart as clear as a bell, I love it when you ask. I love it when you ask. So would you, right now, where you are sitting, think about an issue, one concern, one problem in your life? Child, spouse, a friend, a fear, a dilemma, a knot, and bring that one ask to God in prayer. Let's take a silent moment, sitting where we are, to practice what I've been preaching. Let us pray. Lord, we come before you with joyful hearts because we can know your will for us. We lay before you ourselves, our souls, our bodies, our hopes and fears. We bring before you this one concern that has come into our minds this morning. You know our needs before we ask, but nevertheless, we bring before you this one request. lean over our lives. Show us the solution, answer, give us guidance. Point us in the right way. Heal what is broken. Help us one day to look back on this moment to see that this was the time when you began to work this problem out. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us stand in the words of the Nicene Creed, affirm our faith.